take our mind away from Steinhoff just for a few minutes, if you would, Colin Cullis, with something uplifting and positive. Inventions. But just frame the inventions for me, please. Are we talking South African inventions, global inventions, shape-shifting inventions? What are we talking about?
This is inspired by Time Magazine's annual list of best inventions for the year. But to be fair to them and us, actual inventions, certainly those that are invented in 2017, are probably too complex for us to understand. So they're products and stuff that has come from innovation and inventions of the past that have now reached sort of the pinnacle for what we can present, the cutting edge of coolness that we possibly be using for the next couple of years. So that's what it is kind of about.
There's nothing new under the sun, but we make great stuff better all the time, is your point.
Yes, and the other bit, I suppose, that I really want to try and illustrate here is that we tend to be sort of underwhelmed by what changes in a year. We're sort of unimpressed. So 1 year to the next year, my phone wasn't that much better. My TV's not that more impressive. The, you know, mobile internet isn't faster than it should be. But when you compare it to a decade, then we're like, wow, that was amazing what we achieved. So if this is 2017, and I'll be running through the list of the ones for here, I thought, let me begin with some from 2007 to illustrate that point. Because beautifully, and I'm sure this one would have, well, we've discussed it before, one of the ones on the list from 2007 was a remarkable mobile phone, 2-megapixel camera, actually could connect to Wi-Fi. And if you tilted this camera from upright to sideways, a picture would reorientate to fit the orientation of the phone. And people were like, whoa, how did you do that? That was, of course, demonstrated by Steve Jobs and the original iPhone. 10 years later, the iPhone 10 is in this year's list, and the only thing those two phones have in common is the name. They are completely different. The iPhone 10 is a piece of real technology genius. And to be fair, just about any new premium flagship phone that comes out from these guys is in the same market. Oh, I shouldn't say phone. These are all smart cameras now. Remember the
mobile these devices. They're devices.
Yeah. Which, in fact, maybe brings me up to the other one. The other gadget they were crowing about in 2007 was a camera, point-and-shoot camera, that was capable of capturing 8-megapixel pictures. People were wowed by the clarity you'd get from that. These days, that iPhone 10, most of these flagship phones, the selfie camera is an 8-megapixel camera. And then if there's the sort of the way to show how much happens, the time it takes for a child to reach puberty, the iPhone reached maturity, saturated the market, over 1 billion sales. That's how you can sense that, you know, some things really do happen remarkably quickly. So what other things were people dreaming about in 2007? Well, Wi-Fi routers were starting to become a thing. Access to the internet and using a router at your home for Wi-Fi was good. The latest one boasted wireless N generation speeds. That was 10 times faster than the previous generation. This year on the list is a thing called the Norton Core. It is a good 6 times faster than those ones 10 years ago. And because we have so many devices that connect to them now, and a lot of them are sort of these IoT, this Internet of Things devices, smart cameras and things like that in the home, it will detect if one of them were to become infected with some malware. And it'll shut it down and stop talking to that dodgy fridge or, you know, errant little Alexa device you may have. So that's kind of clever. And then the other thing was this LCD TVs. They were the new thing. And they could potentially show HD images. An LCD with HD now is basically any entry-level television. 4K is pretty much mid-level for what we're looking at these days. And a final one for you from the wonderfully innovative 2007 was a portable hard drive. People were amazed by portable hard drives, 160 gigs. You laugh because these days you can get something 10 times that size for under R1,000.
I got a 2-terabyte hard drive the other day for $1,200.
Isn't it incredible? I mean, 2 terabytes in 2007 and people think you were Google because that's how big that amount of savings was. Okay, so back to this year's list and what they looked at. Now, Time, to their credit, have spotted the electric car for some years. This year they put the Model 3 on, the Tesla Model 3. Last year was the Chevy Bolt. The year before that was the Tesla Model S. And the year before that, they had the BMW i3. So they really are sort of thinking there's something in these electric cars. And again, if we revisit this in 2027, there'll be no question. Electric cars will just be, yeah, so what? That's just what we do. And every manufacturer will have at least half, if not most, of their lines will probably consist of electric cars. And then there's 3D printing. 3D printing comes up a lot, and shoes, for some reason, with Time come up a lot. I'm less convinced about shoes becoming amazing, but this year's one is an Adidas shoe whose sole is 3D printed for you, specifically for you. They assess what it is you're going to
use. Custom-made?
Custom-made, printed right there while you wait, so that it's not just a running shoe, but it's a running shoe that enhances your running style or compensates for how goofy it is. I'm not quite sure what they...
No, precisely. I mean, thank goodness for that. Yes, all right. Good knee, knock knee and everything else that comes with it, okay?
Yes, but it's not the shoes that I think are going to be the real innovation, is those 3D printers. So the means of 3D printing, the what we print, and even 3D printers themselves are undergoing a sort of a remanufacturing. So whether that be things printed in steel or human cells, what we'll be able to create with that, I think, is going to be something we talk about now as like, ooh, 3D printing. And in the future, it'll be like, what do you mean? Did you ever do it any other way? These last two, though, are a little more obscure, and they point more to changes in society than rather technology. And the first one is compliments of Rihanna. She has a line of cosmetics called Fenty Beauty. What's getting her a lot of attention about it is she's focused on all skin types. Generally, cosmetics have tended to, certainly in the US, to focus on sort of light skin tones. So by making this available to everybody and a lot more underserved markets, people have said, well, this is the good step that we need. But there are other manufacturers who have started marketing stuff called gender-neutral makeup. And the point there is, as people stop identifying simply as male or female, this makeup supposedly allows you to use it for however you identify. But there's a larger underserved group of people who I believe are probably going to start using makeup more frequently. That underserved group is a well-identified one called males. And the reason I submit we will start seeing males use it more often is that our cameras take beautiful pictures of us. They create versions of ourselves, almost like Dorian Gray, that it's hard to compete with in the real world. And so to try and get a little closer, we'll probably be tempted to start using a lot more makeup. So the male selfie generation, probably going to start using a lot more makeup. And then this final one, I think, is it's long overdue, and it's a health one. There are plenty in the health world, but this one maybe seems like the next nearest thing. And it's a clinic in the US, and they'll probably spread around with different versions, called Forward. And the idea is, and I understand it's an ancient idea, that you should only pay your doctor while you're well, and you don't pay them when you're ill. So the Forward Clinic works a bit like a gym. You pop in there on a regular basis, and they do lots of sort of biometric checks that take a lot of data, and then try and suggest what would be a healthy lifestyle for you. Because they're checking you out all the time, if you're not sticking to eating plans and not doing the sort of required amount of exercise to maintain whatever goal you've set yourself, they'll start letting you know ahead of time and effectively start bringing you in and talking to you before you get ill, before you start developing the kind of lifestyle diseases that so many of us are prone to get because we sort of just get a little too lazy and sedentary and don't get around a lot. So between all of those things, I suspect that Time's done a pretty good job, and the rest of the list I publish online. And again, you know, it's always so difficult for us to imagine what happens in 1 year. But when we look back at how remarkably clever we've become, and how amazing what amazing things we can do, then you can only be optimistic, despite, you know, all the horrible things that have happened in recent years, for what we have to expect in the future.
Colin Cullis, what lovely insights. Thank you very much indeed. Business Unusual correspondent for The Money Show on a Wednesday night.